Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we talk about films we think might be underrated or underseen. I'm the host for this week, Josh Hallam, and I'm joined, as ever, by my wonderful co-host, Alice Oliver. It was Alice's turn to pick this week, and she chose Bo Burnham's Inside from 2021. So, let's see what we think. Alice, bit different this week, sort of not a film, but is a film, but isn't a film, but is a film, but isn't.
It's, you know, I'm being flexible.
It's a semi-film.
With the concept, for sure. It's the and that of the just
films.
It's
the and that. It's the not often used suffix of, we put that in there so that basically we can do what we want. And you know what? It's our podcast, isn't it? So
yeah, but we've been really good for the most part.
We have been good for 5 years or so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've just been doing films and stuff. I feel like I almost broke the rules like a tiny bit when I picked Catfish, but actually, that was at Sundance and shit, right?
So. Yeah, that's true. Next week, it's me. I'm going to just do like me reading the perfect omelette recipe.
Yeah, and then maybe do an episode on Only Fools and Horses.
All the stuff. Anyway, Bo Burnham's Inside then, so it's from 2021. So if you can tell the people at home, now there will be spoilers, if there is spoilers. Tell the people at home. So first of all, what is it about as quickly as you can? But also, why did you pick it?
So I'm just going to give our listeners a little bit of context around this.
Yes.
So Bo Burnham is a musical comedian who started out on YouTube in 2006, and then he moved into stand-up and live performances. And he's also dabbled a bit in filmmaking and acting as well. So in 2016, he announced that he was going to stop performing live due to having panic attacks on stage. And he has been quite open in the past about his mental health challenges in podcasts and in interviews and things like that. So this wasn't really a massive surprise to anyone who was following him closely. Then in early 2020, he was starting to feel a bit better and thought about performing live again. But of course, these plans were scuppered by COVID-19. So he instead spent his time during the first year or so of the pandemic creating a comedy special, the likes of which I don't think we'd ever seen before. And that special was Inside. So it follows his usual stand-up routine of performing a song, then, you know, cracking some jokes or addressing the audience, then performing a song again. However, this whole thing was filmed by him alone in the studio space that he has in his garden, and the musical performances, for the most part, were very much like music videos. So why did I pick it? So
why did you pick it?
So the time of year had a lot to do with it.
Yes.
So we're almost exactly 4 years now since we, here in the UK at least, went into lockdown because of COVID-19. So it was to sort of mark that occasion. I also think, I mean, really, I did just want to talk about it as well, but I do think it's underseen.
Right.
I really do think it's underseen because I think if you're not a fan of Bo Burnham already, you ain't watching this. Like,
no one's watching this.
It's not underrated. And we'll get to that at the end.
Okay. It's difficult because this is not done many. This might even be the first streaming exclusive. So I don't know if we've done many streaming exclusives, because I've got a couple on my list and I keep thinking about picking them and thinking, but underseen, it's much harder, you know, box office, if you're doing Batman Begins or whatever, you know, Blair Witch Project, all the stuff we've done recently, you can go, well, it made, you know, 30 quid at the box office or whatever. Whereas this, they don't always release the streams. And quite often, if they do release the streams, it's not always a good barometer of how well it did, because Netflix have famously, you know, I believe this is what I've read, I'm not saying it, you know, that I know it for sure, but I've inflated figures, or a stream isn't necessarily mean you're watching it, does it? It just means it's on.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, are we talking streamed for 5 minutes, half an hour, fully, the yeah, whole
yeah.
thing?
It's like when, yeah, like, just let you behind the curtain, guys. A full podcast listen isn't a full episode, but also you can't listen to it for 5 seconds. There's what we call algorithms. Welcome to my TED Talk on how podcasting works. No, anyway, so Bo Burnham's inside then. So you've picked this because you wanted to talk about it. You think it's a little bit underseen because it's probably specifically for Bo Burnham's fans. So a lot of people probably aren't checking it out if they're not already fans of his stuff. But it's not underrated.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at.
That's where we're at. Okay. So watching it again then.
Okay.
Watching it again. Well, do you want to give me your thoughts or...
So I'll start with my general overview.
Because I know this is precious to you and I don't want
to... It is precious to me, but I want you to be your authentic self in your opinion. Yeah. That's all I ever want, really. But I'm going to give my general overview of the whole thing and then we'll get into what you thought, right? So I like pretty much everything about this. Like, I was absolutely thrilled when he announced he was going to do another special. I'd loved all his specials up until this point, and it was just such a surprise when he did announce it, especially considering what was going on in the world. Nothing new was getting made. No new content was coming out. So I was just absolutely thrilled. So I love all the songs. I think the lyrics and the themes and also just the composition of them is excellent. I think the editing is great and the journey of the piece that you go on with him from start to finish is really well thought out and executed. I think the way he utilizes the space that he does have and what he manages to achieve, given just how limited his resources are, is pretty phenomenal. I think it's funny, it's eerie, it's enjoyable, but dark at the same time, and I just loved the way that it made me feel when I watched it for the first time in May in 2021. That's my sort of general view, and I will go into a few more things in detail later, but like I said, I'm you know, I want to know what you think. I'm no fool. I'm not just here thinking, oh, well, I think it's great, so everyone must think it's great. So go on, tell me how you felt when I picked it and then how you felt watching it.
What do you think I felt?
I think you can appreciate what has been achieved. Appreciate, you know, the limits that he was under as a stand-up performer who performs on a stage with people to bounce off and, you know, to work on your art for, sometimes a year that they tour their sets and then they perfect it and then they come to the record sort of thing. He hasn't had any of that. I think technically you might think it's really impressive in terms of like the lighting and the cinematography and stuff, but I don't think you're going to have connected with it emotionally in the same way that I did and that perhaps other Bo Burnham fans had, because you're not super familiar with Bo, were you?
So I am not super familiar. This is the first his specific material that I have seen, like in terms of feature length. I have seen him in films, so he's in Promising Young Woman.
He was in
Parks and Recreation for like an episode or two. He's in a film called Funny People with Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen. But in terms of his own stuff, I have quite a few friends and family like you and stuff who are fans of his, but I'm not a fan of his. I'm not a fan of his. But so where was my head at? Where was I going into this? I wasn't too keen on it going in. It's not really my cup of tea. I'm not a huge musical comedy fan.
Okay.
Pop Star's a bit of an outlier.
Yeah.
In that sense. Yeah. And I think we covered that when we did the episode, because the songs are presented to you as real.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of comedy songs, I find it's like a lot of, look at how wacky this is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that was where I was going in, coming out of the other side. I liked it a lot more than I thought it was going to.
All right, sick. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I went into this and it won me over within about 5 minutes.
Tell me why.
I don't think I did connect on at the same level as you, but that's not to say it's more reflective of your love than my disinterest. Do you know what I mean? If that makes any sense. So overall, I laughed a lot. Thought it was pretty funny. I'm still not a huge fan of musical comedy, but the way he did it, the bits I were laughing at were more like the execution. So for example, I thought it was really funny, quite subversive and sarcastic in the way it pokes fun at itself. So this might come up again in my dislikes, but I don't have a lot of time for wealthy, privileged celebrities making things like COVID about them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I know, listen, everyone's mental health is completely irregardless of money for the most part. I get that. Mm-hmm. And, I'm, you know, the richest man in the world could have the worst depression and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you are in a position where you have money. You're not going to lose your job. Mm-hmm. You probably already own your house and all that sort of stuff. So really, I don't have that much time for it. However, mm-hmm. he immediately addresses that.
Mm-hmm.
So he immediately addresses, first of all, as well, he doesn't actually mention COVID throughout the whole thing.
And yeah, doesn't mention COVID, doesn't mention the pandemic,
doesn't mention
nothing
lockdown.
Like that. It's so I like all that. Just it's just the sort of effects of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, FaceTime with my mum, sexting, that yeah. sort of thing.
But it could
it's
be,
like,
yeah. But it could be that he has, so you could watch this in 10 years' time, obviously the effects of COVID and the way what we've all been through to different degrees will last for decades and all that sort of stuff. It's definitely going to be what we all talk to our grandkids about. But the fact that it doesn't mention it specifically means it doesn't age as much.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything ages, so it's so it's all inevitable. Everything ages, you know what I mean. But this, it could just be that he decides to spend the year in a room on his own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it never addresses it. So I quite like that vagueness because it keeps it feeling fresh and engaging and stuff like that. So yeah, enjoyed that sarcastic, subversive humor where he's poking fun at sort of white savior syndrome and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's quite abstract and conceptual. So some mm-hmm. of the ways that, you know, some of the stuff it gets really quite strange, like where he's watching a reaction video of himself and then a reaction mm-hmm. video of the reaction video.
Yeah,
it's a mirror on a mirror type thing and stuff like that. Did like some of the songs, so actually mm-hmm. it was cracking up at FaceTime with my mom.
But
the lyrics were funny. But what was making me laugh was like the him getting frustrated at his mum for putting a thumb over the camera and all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. Thought it was funny. His musical style sort of reminds me of like dark Disney.
Okay, yeah,
do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like Disney for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Like Journey songs and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, overall, I did really like it. And yeah, liked the abstract and conceptual sort of way he went into it. Liked, you know, fair play to him for A, clearly very, very talented. He's done it all on his own. And B, he does get quite personal at stages, although I'd be interested mm-hmm. to know, before you tell me your likes, how much of this do you think is real and how much do you think of it is acted?
Well, I've got a whole paragraph
right,
that I've
okay,
written
okay,
about
well,
this.
Okay, well,
like,
if so, you're going to address it later, then
no, we can get into it now.
I was going to say address that then,
asked.
and then go on. I'm setting the Alice firework off.
So, oh god,
the fuse
is
lit.
I am going to rein it in. I've got like three main points that I'm going to make because, like I said in the beginning, like, I like everything about it. So
yeah,
we could be here
yeah.
all day of me just sort of picking it apart, but. This is what I'd sort of been thinking as I was watching it. So you are left with questions about the whole thing as a fan of his, because the way he edits in some of the shots of him rehearsing or like setting up particular scenes, it's unclear as to whether these are genuine moments that he just happened to catch on camera or if they are staged. And then obviously you've got the moments where he's having a really difficult time and he's filmed himself on camera and then, you know, he starts crying towards the end on camera and stuff like that. And it's the same with things like the mess that we see around him. So there's like equipment and paper and stuff just lying around all over the place and little details like the fact that the oven clock hasn't been set and so it's flashing in the background. So something he brings up in his other specials is the fact that everything he does is so meticulously planned out that nothing is left up to chance and that he has considered every tiny little detail about everything that you see as the viewer. So even though some of these moments seem to be authentic and candid, I don't think they are. And I think they're all just part of the plan. And I would just absolutely love to know if that's correct or if it's not. Like as I was watching it, I was like, every discarded wire, every open drawer that is in that room, I'm like, that's a choice, in my opinion. He has made that decision to do that. What I would say, though, is obviously when he is talking about his mental health, about the fact that he sort of stepped away from live performing the 5 years previous, that's all true. That did happen. So that it's not that that isn't true. It's just the way that he's delivering it has obviously been planned out and thought out and set up sort of thing. And it's similar when little things. So what in, I can't remember what the song's called. It might just be called Shit or I Feel Like Shit or whatever. But one of the lyrics is, are you feeling what I'm feeling? I haven't had a shower in the last 9 days.
Mm.
And I wouldn't put it past him to have legit not showered in the past 9 days so that he could sort of do that song and like embody that character as he's almost performing it. Yeah, that sort of thing. So I don't think those moments are reflective of maybe ways that he is genuinely feeling, but I don't think the moments themselves are real. I think it's he's thought, oh, when I feel like this, you know, when I feel this upset or this sad or depressed or whatever it might be, this is how I'm feeling. So I'm going to film that and try and put that in there to just sort of convey to the audience that this is how I felt. But I don't think that, that the moment happening as we see it, I don't think that's an authentic thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think I'd be inclined to agree with you. Knowing, you know, having a little bit of knowledge. Like, you obviously know much more about his work than me, and what you've said there completely changes the game in terms of, well, if he's that meticulous, it must be sort of staged. Because also the a meticulous personality also probably wouldn't, goes the other way, and why he wouldn't leave the camera on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Or you wouldn't, if you're a control freak, because I'm probably more that way than I am not. Surprise, kids. But then I wouldn't, I can't imagine myself like allowing myself to get into that state, because also I'm also very private, stuff like that. So yeah, it's a difficult one, but you are right about that, because I read about it a little bit about the panic attacks and stuff like that. And I thought that was, you know, that again, the other stuff might be staged, but even talking about that as a comedian is quite brave. He won't be the first comedian to talk about it. He won't be the last, but I still think to get up on stage as a comedian and you sort of have to be a character, even if that character is essentially yourself. And it is you're sort of showing a real chink in the armor there by saying you don't want to get up on stage, because, you know, people.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, maybe not as kind as yourself or me, will be like sharks with blood. They'll absolutely go for that if they ever see them. But anyway, so I just thought it was interesting to know if it was staged or fake or whatever. But go on then. What do you like about it then? Let's hear the other points, because you've clearly got a lot of affection for this. Is this your favourite of his specials?
Oh, so yeah, I was thinking about that. Definitely, definitely at the time, I think when I watched it for the first time, I was like, holy shit. Like it just spoke to me. It just, you know, it got me where it sort of wanted to got me, sort of thing. I think maybe in hindsight, if you went back and watched them, I think maybe the one he did before, which was Make Happy, that's probably, Oh, see, I don't even know that. That's a difficult question, Josh, because
this must be so different, though, right? This must be so different to the others.
It's really different. Yeah,
it's almost like this isn't. You know, this almost isn't a stand-up special. It is, but it's must be like, or his other ones, him on stage with the piano and doing stand-up.
Yeah.
It's completely different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different vibes, totally. I tell you what, though, if you did enjoy this, either you or listeners, so he's got the Inside Out takes.
Oh, yeah, that came up after I finished watching it.
Yeah, so it's about an hour and 20 minutes long again, so it's like a full-length sort of special, but of things that did not make it into Inside. And I might have watched that even more than I've watched Inside, because, again, I just can't get enough of him. So I really enjoy how his appearance changes throughout the video, right? So the image of Bo that we get at the end of the special is not the one that his fans are familiar with. Like, he's never had a beard, he's always kept his hair short, and he's always had a very youthful look about him. But as the piece goes on, his hair gets longer, his beard starts growing, and he just starts to look so different. And not only is this interesting visually, but it also correlates with the sort of descent into madness that permeates through the whole thing. And then obviously we eventually climax with the sort of almost manic, narcissistic, self-indulgent song at the end with All Eyes on Me. And I just really enjoyed that as a way of showing the passage of time and how he's changing throughout it, and you know, how I'm sure many people could relate, you know, especially those who struggled a lot during those lockdowns can probably relate to that. And just finally, so visually, it is excellent. You've got things like his use of lighting and projections, the cinematography, the way it's edited, and just the effort, the intention, and the attention to detail that's gone into some of the songs. So if we look at White Woman's Instagram, right? So for those of you who don't know, the song is just about, it's about cliched photos that you see on Instagram. And for the song, he acts out a whole bunch of different scenarios and images that you would see on Instagram, which means sourcing what seems like an endless amount of props and costumes and setting up each scene for each image. And I just really appreciate the effort that's gone into doing that, especially as he's doing it all on his own, like we say. So getting the lighting right for that, trying to light yourself is hard. And the whole thing, it just must have been so painstaking. And I just love the fact that he's put that much effort into it.
Okay, so we'll move on to talking about things that we perhaps didn't like about about Inside by Bo Burnham, or things that we might change about it. Alice, I mean, surely there's not going to be loads from you here, is there? Or are you going to do an absolute heel turn and go right in?
You know what? That would have been interesting. I think that would have made an interesting show and an interesting episode. And I was watching it, trying. I was like, what can I find? What is something that's bad here or that just doesn't work? But in terms of technically, there ain't anything. Mm. However, I think I alluded to this earlier. So I've seen this maybe 10, 11, 12 times or so. Like,
wow.
I've watched it a lot. Do you know what I mean? And it definitely didn't pack the same sort of punch as it usually does when I watched it this time around.
Right.
So I am starting to sort of think that, well, because it's so of its time, and it's expressing a feeling that was quite, you know, indicative of the time. It was like the shared experience everyone was going through.
Lightning in a bottle type of thing, isn't it?
I think it might be a bit like that. So then watching it 3 years later, you know, and then 6 years later, and then ultimately 10 years later, is it still going to speak to people? Mm. I'm not sure. I think it's still very, as opposed to it being like, oh, this is what happens when you're in lockdown for ages. It is a bit like, oh, but this is sort of what happens when you're depressed as well.
Yeah.
Like, these are the sort of feelings, these are the kind of things that you're going through. So I think it may still be relatable in that way. But definitely, I think the further we come from 2020 and everything that went on, maybe the less impactful it is.
Mm.
The other thing as well, and I know I've said this before as well, are you watching this if you're not a Bo Burnham fan? I just don't know if you are. And
no,
so
probably
is
not.
This just for fans of Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
Which, but saying that, like, that's all stand up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's for the fans.
It's one of the most inherently subjective things. There are plenty of comedians who are massively successful who I don't find that funny, and plenty who aren't that successful who I do, and you know, vice versa, and all walks of life and all that sort of stuff. So you're probably not watching this if you are not a Bo Burnham fan. So yeah, I think that's a fair point. But then it's not really criticism, is it? It's just that's the nature of it.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of having some self-awareness. Like, I'm not going to go to everyone and go, you need to watch this, you need to watch this. And it's like, well, have you seen his other stuff first? And, you know, maybe we'll build up to that and it makes sense, sort of thing. But I suppose the problem is... Go on.
Sorry to interrupt. That's one of my main problems. You know, back to my earlier point about musical comedy, mm-hmm. is because it's one of the things that people will show you and go, you've got to see this, and then make you watch it.
Yeah, and whereas wait for you to laugh, sort of thing.
You probably don't do that. Maybe you used to when the stand-up scene really exploded about 10, 15 years ago, but I don't think now you would be like, look at this 20-minute clip of a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You might talk about bits, but with this, people will go, have you seen this song?
Mm-hmm.
And then make you watch it, and you sit in there with that someone else's phone in your hand, thinking, I really hope I find this naturally funny, because otherwise I'm just going to be sitting watching this.
Yeah.
And it feels quite almost like insisted upon and forced a little bit. And I think that's one of the things I've always found with musical comedy is that. And it's a bit like, let me find it myself.
Yeah.
Again, back to Pop Star, I sort of found that myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was through Brooklyn Nine-Nine because Andy Samberg's in that or whatever, but I never had anyone go, watch this particular bit. It's really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had that with other Lonely Island stuff and this, and well, not this, but Bo Burnham stuff. Like I say, I've got lots of family and friends who are like, oh, have you seen this? But then they don't, it's like, there's an element of like, read the room, I don't want to watch it.
Send it to me and say,
watch it when you get a sec.
Yeah, it's not good practice, is it? It's a weird sort of social faux pas that I think maybe we'll move away from. I personally, even though I say that, when that's happened to me, it has been quite successful. Like my friend Sarah, when we were, you know, however old we were, said, you need to watch this. And it was Jizz in My Pants by the Lonely Island. Yeah. And I was like, this is the best fucking thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And then I think it was my friend Lloyd at uni put on the song for Phil Doust by Tim Minchin. I don't know if that one.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And again, I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is hilarious. But I totally get that. And it's because it is subjective. And also, it's like you enjoy this for the context and for the reasons around it. And especially with Bo Burnham, like, I don't think I would ever just pluck a song out of one of his specials and go, oh, listen to this, just, you know, isolated. It's like, you know, you need to watch the whole special.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get the story and you need to see him in action sort of thing.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely spot on there.
So what about you for dislikes? Was there anything else?
So I definitely... Listen, it's still probably this sort of thing isn't like my cup of tea. That doesn't mm-hmm. to say I didn't like it. It's just not mm-hmm. my particular taste. So I probably wouldn't go and watch more unless you pick mm-hmm. them. But I've come out of it liking it a lot more than I thought I was going to. And overall, mm-hmm. I had a good time. I laughed and I thought it was enjoyable. Anything I didn't like, I can't really put my finger on it. There's an element of just taste.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fine. Do you know what I mean? It's like any music, isn't it? Some people like Oasis and some people like, you know, Michael Jackson or whatever. But I think for me, there's an element of, I do think it's a little, as I said, just to touch on it before, celebrities crying about being on their own and COVID mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I'm a little bit like, you're in your summer house, in your garden of your massive house where mm-hmm. they film Nightmare on Elm Street, because I know mm-hmm. that because I read about it. So I'm a bit like, well, you know, I get it, mental health affects everybody differently, regardless of money, but also sort of, you know, I'm not too bothered. However, he just poked fun at that himself. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that sort of gets away with that to some extent. I think he goes a bit too conceptual in places. So I think mm-hmm. he goes almost too fourth wall-y or just a bit too intellectual in places. Not that I couldn't keep up, but I can see how that would isolate some people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And they might sort of go... You know, and there is also, you do also run the risk of stuff like this, particularly around COVID, of people going, I don't really want to be spoken to about it. I've been through all that and I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I don't want to hear your opinions on politics or anything really. Mm-hmm. But again, that's his style. So I suppose that, you know, that's his style. That's what his fans like. And if you are a fan of his, then if that's indicative and reflective of his other stuff, then that's just his style, isn't it? So that's what his mm-hmm. fans want. So he's playing the hits in that sense. The one thing I would say is probably a little bit repetitive, but that's by mm-hmm. its very nature it is repetitive. It's one guy in a room. And that's not to say, you know, what he achieves on his own in a room is amazing. And it's far beyond what I could do. But I did find some of it a little bit repetitive. But, you know, by no means a criminal offence or anything like that. You know, I thought overall, I enjoyed it. Okay, so let's move on to talking about the critical reception then. So I haven't seen any of the critical reception. Don't know how it did. Now, you said there it did really, really well. So obviously, I'm assuming it got really high scores. And if you think it did well and you love it as much as you do, and then it must have done really, really well. And obviously, in terms of figures, we're not too sure how it did because it is streaming. But I think your point is more that just you think people should watch it. Yeah, so critically then, well, how do you, what would you give it?
Probably giving it a 9. Giving it at least a 9. Like, if I think how many times I've watched it, the songs that I have on my playlist, you know, just the like, I thought, you know, you get to a certain age and you think you grow out of, you know, sort of fangirling over people, you know, becoming obsessed with the latest, you know, celeb or content creator or whatever it is. But like, his songs and his specials and his videos on YouTube, I have watched and watched and watched to death. Like, I've done, you know, a lot of hours spent in front of the telly just watching his stuff on YouTube, sort of thing. So it was just, I quite liked that. You know, when you think you've seen everything you're ever going to like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then something pops up along, and you're like, oh shit. Cause I remember, cause I found out about him. It was through Ollie. He sat me down one day and he was like, watch this. It was his special What, which I think at the time was on YouTube, but I do think it's on Netflix now. And just almost immediately, I was like, this guy speaks to me. Like, I get it. It's funny. Mm. It's enjoyable. It's sort of thing. So anyway, what was your question? What about 9? I'd probably give it a 9. What would you give it?
I'd probably get, you know, I think for everything that's gone into it and trying to be as objective as I can about it in terms of the production value, I think it's probably a 7.
Okay, yeah, like that's good. That's great.
That's what I'd say. You know, if I'm being more subjective, I might drop it down a little bit, but okay. I fully appreciate what's gone into him making this himself. So how do I think it did then? If you think it did well and you're giving it a 9, I wonder if maybe it's a 9 then. You know, well, because you think, well, no one loves this as much as me. And then people actually do. So I'm going to say, it averages out at 9. Possibly even higher, because also it's quite specific, so I can imagine the sample size of ratings is lower as well, because this is also not the sort of thing where would this be reviewed by a film critic or would it be reviewed by a comedy critic? Because if it's a comedy critic and it hits them in the right spot, you're getting high scores. Absolutely. Whereas a film critic, you know, might be going into this going, why am I reviewing this? It's not really a film.
Yeah,
so it walks the line between two worlds, doesn't it? So I think I think it's a 9. That because of what you said.
Okay. Well, at the time of recording on IMDb, it gets an 8.6 out of 10. And then over on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it 93%.
Wow.
And then the critics give it 95%. So, and just to possibly reinforce my thoughts about it being underseen, so it has 59 reviews from the critics and just 1,000 plus reviews from the audience. And then I went and looked just for comparison. So I went and looked at Batman Begins, and that has 250,000 plus audience reviews. So if you think that's the sort of thing we're looking at, that's like the disparity in numbers. And that's the audience as well. So that is Bo Burnham fans probably going out and actually watching it. And it's still only 1,000 plus. And of course, the argument that I made that, you know, if you're not a Bo Burnham fan, are you watching this unless someone makes you do it for a podcast that they co-host with you? Like, I don't know, sort of thing. So I reckon... What did you do the average then? Sorry, if you...
It's sort of around early 90s, 91-ish, there. That's big. That's big, big
probably
numbers.
Probably overrated for you, right?
I think we can put that to a vote, but it's really difficult because, obviously everything we do is subjective, but this is even more so to a degree, isn't it? Because if it's not your taste, and it's not really my taste, but I fully appreciate what is good about it, then you're not going to give it that. But I will give you that I think more people should see it, because that is how people will become a fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And he's definitely really talented, and there's definitely something there. You're not the only person I know who's a big fan of him. My sister is as well. So I think if you're into musical comedy, so if you like Lonely Island, like the Concords, I'm trying to think of other ones. There's loads out there.
I think definitely Lonely Island. Yeah, there's definitely a touch of that in there. If you're into that, what how does he describe himself in the sort of White Savior video? It's like a cross between Martin Luther King and Weird Al.
Martin Luther King and Weird Al.
And then it's him in the middle.
Yeah, Weird Al. That's probably that's your benchmark, isn't it, with musical comedy. So yeah, if you like that sort of stuff, check it out. You probably like it. And if you don't, do you know what? Check it out anyway, because it might surprise you, because it did surprise me. So I think that's probably the best outcome you were hoping for, wasn't it, Alice?
I'm literally thrilled, Josh. I thought you were. I had a really awful feeling that you were going to hate it, and I couldn't defend that. Like there's no defense in it. You're either into it or you're not, sort of thing. And so I'm really pleased that you were kind of okay with it.
No, I was more than okay with it. I went into it thinking this isn't going to be for me. It's going to be it's going to be an hour and a half that really drags. And it didn't. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
So we'll be back next week with another episode in your ears, so keep an eye out for that. If you'd like to get in touch with us in the meantime, it's filmsonthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search for Just Films and That on your likes of your Facebooks and your X's and your Twitters and your Instagrams and your YouTubes, you'll find us on there. We're always putting out content. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled. And I'll tell you where else to keep your eyes peeled. On the old telly box, don't you, Alice? It'll never last.
Indeed. We are on the local TV network every Friday from 6 p.m. That means if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. I'm also uploading all the videos onto Dailymotion, so if you head on over there and search for Just Films and That, you'll be able to see exactly what it is we're up to.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, get in touch with us, and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio!
Bye!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.